The state of Utah will institute a mandatory 4-day work week for most state employees this summer, becoming the first state in the nation to do so. But it joins many other city and county governments in this money-saving move. Do you think Wisconsin should consider this? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 10th. And while the current high gas prices are prompting the move by more private and public employers at the moment, because it saves a day in commuting and gas guzzling for one thing, there are many other benefits, according to advocates. Utah's governor says it will reduce the state's carbon footprint, it will increase energy efficiency, it will improve customer service, it will provide workers more flexibility, and it will save money. When I heard this story, I first thought, well, wouldn't that be nice, working 4 days a week? And then I thought of UW-Madison mathematics professor Anatole Beck, who has been a longtime advocate of a shorter work week way before this current trend. Professor Beck is on research leave right now at the London School of Economics. He will be back to teach in the fall, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning. Well, that sounded like a hang-up. Good morning. I guess it was, so we will try to get him back online. We had him there. And in the meantime, I'll give the numbers so you can join in with your thoughts, your questions, the pros and cons of a 4-day work week at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Would you like a 4-day work week? Maybe your employer already offers you this option. We were doing a program the other day on high gas prices, and we heard from a couple of callers who said that they were now working a 4-day work week, and it was saving them quite a bit of money since it saved one day in the commute. We now have the state of Utah becoming the first state in the nation to institute this 4-day work week, a mandatory 4-day work week for most state employees. By the way, it's most state employees, critical services, it says here the prison system, and I think even the university system in Utah will not be on a 4-day work schedule, but the rest of the state government will. So the pros and cons of the 4-day work week. And Professor Anatole Beck joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
I
remember you talking to the former host of this program, Tom Clark, many, many years ago about a 4-day work week. You have been an advocate of this for a very long time, haven't you?
You'd be surprised how long. Probably longer than you've been around.
Maybe. Well, and it's not because you think it would be nice to work 4 days a week and not five.
Well, actually, all of this, from my thinking, started way back in about 1980 when I was involved in something called the All-Union Committee to shorten the work week.
And it was for workers' rights issues?
Yeah, it was to shorten the work week, which hadn't been shortened since 1938.
Yeah, and why did you think that was a good idea then?
Because that was the direction in which we were going, and that was the direction it made people's work more valuable, and the leisure that they could have was one of the sweet things of life.
Mm.
Yeah. And as we had it when we, with every single change since 1776, when we reduced the working week of carpenters in Philadelphia to 72 hours.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of Utah becoming the first state to make a 4-day work week mandatory?
I think it's an excellent idea, but I think that it doesn't go far enough. I think once you start asking yourself this question, if you're going to work 40 hours a week, which we now recognize as the standard work week, how do you want to do it? What arrangement would be most comfortable? And I say, well, that's fine, but if you look at the standard working life, which is 40 hours a week for 50 weeks a year for 45 years, that comes to 90,000 hours. And the question is that the way you want to do it, or would you rather do it a different way, which is actually much better for the economy?
Yeah, how should it be done differently to be much better for the economy?
It should be done differently so that instead of working 2,000 hours a year, you should work 1,500 hours a year for 60 years.
And so how long, what does that work out in terms of how much are you working per day?
Well, it depends on how you structure it. The way I would structure it is you'd be working 8 hours a day for that particular one, 8 hours a day for a four-day week and getting an additional 3 weeks a year of paid vacation.
Mm-hmm. And what are the economic benefits of doing that?
Well, one of the economic benefits of doing that is the fact that the way we structure our working life, people work very, very hard and very, very long when they're young, and then at 65 or 67 now, they get thrown on the scrap heap, and unless they have quite a bit of money, they're pretty much lost.
Yeah, and so they're saying that because they're kind of forced to retire, that they're not contributing economically,
of course they would be contributing economically if they worked their 90,000 hours in the lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not changing that, although I would change that. I would reduce that. I think that automatically it would reduce to about 72,000 hours in a lifetime, which would mean a 3-day week.
A 3-day week. All right.
A 3-day week, 24-hour week.
Well, we'll talk more. We have to check the weather forecast, and then we'll talk about the benefits of a 4-day work week, maybe a 3-day work week, with the professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, Anatole Beck. And we welcome your thoughts and your questions about this. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the 4-day work week, a current trend with high gas prices right now, more private employers and public employers as well, instituting a 4-day work week for employees. The state of Utah announcing it will become the first state in the nation to institute a mandatory 4-day work week in an effort to save money and energy. We wonder what you think, what questions you have, if you would like this. In Wisconsin, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is a longtime advocate of a shorter work week for society in general, not just state or local governments. He says the economic benefits and energy savings are far-ranging. Anatole Beck is a professor of mathematics at UW-Madison. He is currently on research leave at the London School of Economics. And Professor Beck also wrote books about this. He studied this quite a bit. In fact, I have here a book you wrote called A Better Life, Professor Beck.
Yes, that's the title.
Yeah, and that is it's just shorter work weeks, a 4 or a 3-day work week. You're saying we can, there's enough, you can get the work done in 3 days or 4 days.
We can get the work done, and one of the secrets to that is that there are a lot of people who are excluded from the workforce and not counted as unemployed, and among those are the people who are called discouraged workers, people who think that they can't get a decent job and have given up trying. Among those, we have a lot of people, very skilled people like accountants and lawyers, who find themselves involuntarily jobless in their late 40s and early 50s because they work in an area where the pattern is to squeeze all the work possible out of people between the ages of 25 and 35, and then pretty soon get rid of anybody who can't be imposed upon to do lots and lots of overtime work without pay.
Yeah. Well, so then these discouraged workers would get back in the workforce, you say, and work these 3-day or 4-day work weeks along with everybody else.
That's correct. The other place which makes a real difference and is taken up at some length in the second draft that you have a copy of, concerns women who would like to work, many of them quite skilled, many of them university graduates, but who, because of the structural impediments in our economy, find that it's actually much more economical and efficient to stay home and look after their own children rather than work at jobs which would just barely pay enough for them to pay a competent person to look after their children.
Yeah. Well, we have some callers. Let me bring in Gary in Wauwatosa. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I work in a factory, and I've worked in manufacturing for over 30 years. And I know we don't work. We work 8 hours. We're there 8 hours, but we don't work 8 hours. It would be impossible for us to maintain 8 hours of work doing what we do. And so there's a lot of time left over. I think if we worked a four-day work week, 8 hours a day, at businesses where there was three shifts, if we worked four-hour, eight-hour days, they would be able to work four shifts. That way, more people would have jobs with benefits and everything, and then those people would be additional people paying into Social Security. People would be home more with their children, and I think there'd be a lot of benefits. Jobs that are hard produce a lot of illnesses and repetitive
yeah.
motion. Meat cutters, welders, everything, and I think it would reduce the amount of injuries, and people would be exposed to pollutants in the workplace less.
Gary, how do you think your employer? What do you think your employer thinks of this idea?
I don't think we should worry about that. I think we should think about ourselves for a change. I think people should stand up for their rights and think about themselves and not worry about what the manufacturers think.
Okay, what do you think, Professor Beck? Manufacturers think of this idea?
I think Gary is absolutely right about a lot of things there. But on the question of the employers, who want to squeeze a lot of labor at low prices out of their workers are making a very serious error, an error that actually Henry Ford didn't make back in 1914 when he was paying his workers more than double the going rate. And when he was asked why he did that, and he said, I want my workers to be able to mm-hmm. afford my cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense just in terms of Henry Ford, but if all employers wanted all other employers to hire as many people as possible and pay them as much as possible, they would have a much better market in which to sell their products, and they would probably make more money. Actually, and so I think that the short-term thinking of most employers in this matter is unfortunate, and it of course results in the fact that they only want to have young people, and as soon as they get to the point where they need any kind of slack, like they have to go to the dentist, or they have to, or they're worrying about their mortgages, or they're getting divorced, or their children are sick, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suddenly become slightly less efficient. And the thinking in today's economics, which we have the University of Chicago to thank, is anybody who is slightly less efficient than the next guy, get rid of him and get another young guy.
Yeah. Well, Gary, and is Gary right that this would result in fewer injuries, more productivity? It sounds like it would be a good deal for the employer, too, Professor Beck.
Absolutely. And he's right that it also makes it very easy to have more shifts. There was one woman in France when the 35-hour week came in, who said that she would pay her workers 40 hours pay for 35 hours if they would do the 35 hours in 3-day weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that was that her costs went up 10% and her product went up 30%. So she was saving a lot of money on her fixed costs.
Yeah. You know, Gary brings up that he's a factory worker. Aren't most of our factory worker jobs going outside of this country right now anyway? Would this mean anything regarding that?
Well, we are in a situation now where the what operates under the name of globalization or free trade is one in which the employers in the industrial world are cutting off their major consumers mm-hmm. in the expectation that they are going to do better by selling to the third world. That's wrong. In the meantime, for a period of time, the stuff that they've been buying in the third world to sell in the industrial world have been bringing them a lot of profits. But when the workers in the third in the industrial world don't have the money to buy those products, I mean, look at GM and Ford and Chrysler. Somehow they're doing these sort of things have not made them stronger and richer. That made them weaker, and they're all going under.
Yeah. Gary, did you have anything else?
Well, one other thing is that I myself have had many workplace injuries, and what happens is that instead of these manufacturers, and I hear this from the hospital employees and the therapist, that the manufacturers and businesses aren't accepting work miscomp claims, and they're making the employees go through their own healthcare system. And that means that as individuals, we're all paying for businesses and manufacturers' workplace injuries and illnesses. And yeah. So there's a lot of complications. It spreads out like a spider web, and I think we all need to do something, and voting for Ralph Nader would be one of the things I suggest.
All right. Well, Gary, I don't know if I want to get along those lines. Do you, Professor Beck, any politicking
well,
you want
yes,
to do?
Yes, I think that many of the things which have protected workers in the past have been shut down over the course of the last 30 years in the United States. And one of them, of course, is OSHA. But that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But what is true in what he said is this, that 35 years ago, when we had the first oil crisis here in Britain, and they ran the factories 3 days a week to save fuel, what they discovered was that instead of losing 40% of their product, they only lost 20%. What they found is, in a shorter work week, people's work is more efficient. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, it's probably also, for the same reason, safer.
We're talking about the benefits of a shorter work week. Our guest has studied this issue extensively, has been a longtime advocate of a shorter work week, a four-day work week, or even a three-day work week. Anatole Beck, a professor of mathematics at UW-Madison. Talking with Professor Beck because many states and local governments and even private employers are making this move to a four-day work week. It's an effort to save money and energy. Commuters, workers like it a lot because it cuts one day out of their five-day commute, and that saves gas money. It's also popular because of the economic pressures on governments. Offices would stay open longer hours, 4 days a week, and are closed for the fifth, and that saves taxpayer money. Utah, last week, announcing it's becoming the first state in the nation to institute a mandatory four-day work week for state employees. We wonder what you think about this idea, whether you like it or not, and your questions after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, July the 10th. We are talking with Anatole Beck, a professor of mathematics at UW-Madison and a proponent of a four-day work week. Would you like a four-day work week? Would you like the state of Wisconsin to be operating under a four-day work week like Utah announced it will do starting this summer to save money and energy? We welcome your questions and views about this at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Anatole Beck is currently on research leave at the London School of Economics, where he joins us by telephone. And our next caller is Chris in Columbus. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, great topic, Joy. Thank you very much. I am a correctional officer, and we got to be there 24 hours a day no matter what. So we explored the idea of going to 12-hour shifts a couple of years ago, but it did not go anywhere. Most of the opposition was actually from the more senior staff because they did not want to give up their more desirable jobs. And I would just like the professor's comments on how to write up a proposal that would have a better chance at gaining acceptance. And I will take my answer off here. Thanks.
Yeah, I would like to talk to you more, Chris, but your telephone line's a little scratchy. So he wants to figure out how to convince fellow workers to also want to go along with this idea of maybe 12-hour shifts and fewer days per week working.
Well, if the majority of people in the United States want it, then we can look back to 1938. And in 1938, in order to spread the work more evenly among workers, the Wages and Hours Act came in, which reduced immediately at that time the work week from 48 hours a week to 44 hours a week, with provision that it would go to 40 hours a week in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, once we recognize that it would be to the immense benefit of everybody, by being to the immense benefit of the economy, to make the change in the full range that I've discussed in the manuscript that I sent to you, that it would tend to drift in the direction of having more people working, shorter work weeks, and producing more for sale, and it would indeed be a healthier thing, not only for the economy, which is the first concern, but also for all of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it came down to the point where you had an extra day a week of leisure, or even better, 2 days a week of leisure, then there are all kinds of things that you could expect from that. For example, we have this situation. My daughter works as a nurse at the Wisconsin Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She has a one-year-old son, and she chooses to work 12-hour shifts so that she can spend as much time as possible with her son. This is something which is very important to the country. People are always talking about the fact that our problem with teenage crime has something to do with the fact that the parents aren't doing their share. Well, a lot of the parents aren't doing their share because they're being forced to work long hours by something called welfare to work.
Yeah.
And the point is, any time that we have something which would make it easy to reduce that problem and to give parents more time with their children, as, for example, if you have a couple who are each working 3 days a week, but there's always one of them on home duty at any one day, then you have a situation in which you have parental coverage. The parents are in contact with the children instead of having them try to find adequate carers. And it's easier on the parents. It's much, much easier and much more secure for the children, and it will pay off enormously by the time those children become teenagers.
Advice for Chris? He wants to do this, and apparently some other guards or the correctional officers at the place he works at want to do this, but not everyone. Is there any weight, any advice you have in terms of trying to get your employer or your union to go along with this?
Well, I was going to say, I know that Chris has a very strong union. I don't know that the union would take to this particular point of view, but the interesting thing about unions is if they have elections, and they have to have elections, and if it matters to them, they will elect somebody who will have the union push for this.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. Paul in Oconomowoc is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to know if your guest had any comment. I was seeing a documentary years ago on the Kellogg Company, and they ran a 32-hour work week. And the people really seemed to enjoy it, and it was said when they took that away after Kellogg died, everybody was really upset. It seemed to have a lot of the benefits everybody's been talking about. Now, to take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Know about Kellogg?
I would make the changes slowly, and the first change I would make would be to a 36-hour work week, that is to say, 4 9-hour days,
mm-hmm.
and do this by amendment to the Wages and Hours Act, and have substantial taxes on overtime pay. And then, little by little, shift it to a 32-hour week, that is, 4 8-hour days. And as you did this, and as it was more comfortable to do the work, we would find that there will be more people in the workforce, more people who are looking for these jobs, and there would be more jobs because you would be, each person would be working fewer hours, but by sharing up the jobs, it would be a kind of a welfare-to-work program, because the fact is, we are committed to not letting people starve because they can't find work, and we have to somehow cover that by welfare one way or another. And there are various ways that that happens, and they're all expensive, and they're all more expensive than giving up a couple of hours a week of work and taking a couple of days, a month, of extra vacation.
Yeah, so does your plan, your vision work that there's a 3-day weekend and whatever, the store or the office is closed 3 days a week and open 4 days a week, or do you schedule employees on 4-day work weeks so the factory or the office stays open at least 5 days a week?
Well, let me tell you about something I learned in 1962 when I was traveling at Berkeley, and I needed to get my Volkswagen repaired, and I was given the hint that I should get it repaired in the evening instead of during the day,
mm-hmm.
because the senior workers were working 5 hours in the evening and getting 8 hours pay for it. Now, in the case of a store or a factory, which was on a 4-day week, you could have it be on the 4-day work week Monday through Thursday, and have the 4 days pay paid for the 3 days of the weekend, and distribute those jobs on the basis of seniority. And the decrease in fixed costs, things like rent and real estate taxes and various other things, which don't go with the number of hours worked, but with the calendar, would save them enough so that they would be making more money having one group of people working a 4-day week and another group of people working a 3-day week than they're doing right now.
We're talking about the benefits of a shorter work week, like the 4-day work week that the state of Utah has announced it will make mandatory this summer. It's an effort to save money and energy. Talking with a longtime advocate of a shorter work week, Anna Tolbach, professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, and welcoming your thoughts and questions and your preferences. Does this sound good to you? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk at wpr.org. Maybe your business already offers you the opportunity to work a 4-day work week. How do you like it? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 10th, the fourth day of this 5-day work week. We're talking about whether or not a 4-day work week is a better idea. Would that save energy? Would it be better for the economy? Our guest says absolutely. Anna Tolbach, professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, a proponent of a shorter work week. Welcoming your thoughts and questions and maybe even your experiences. We did get an email that I wanted to share, Professor Beck. This was from a listener named Dan, who says, how about 2 20-hour workdays and sleep 8 hours in between the 2 days? Then you'd be off for 5 days. I'm absolutely serious about this idea.
I think that actually the longer work days become less efficient than the shorter work days, and that in terms of output per hour, you're much better off with a shorter work day and a shorter work week, because when we are working hard and long, we tend to find ways to pace ourselves so that we don't get overtired. But when the Brits were working three-day weeks in England during the first oil crisis in 1973, they were able to keep their noses to the grindstone much more comfortably and much longer without feeling that they were being worked to death. So I think, actually, that there is real danger involved in having work days or work weeks that are too long.
Yeah.
When people wear out, they just stop thinking about what they're doing.
Yeah, right now I think Utah and some of these other local governments that have implemented this are going to a 9.5 to 10-hour day, 4 days a week for employees, you know, to make up, compensate for that lost day of work. Is that okay, or do you think that's a problem?
Well, I think, for instance, that if you went to a 4-day week of 9.5-hour days would give you the same product as the 40-hour week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, as a general rule, you only lose half when you reduce the work week. You only reduce half the product. So if you cut the week down by 4 hours, you'll only lose 2 hours product.
We have other callers. Scott in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Scott.
Hello. My outlook on this, okay, I'm a long-haul truck driver. It wouldn't work for us at all. But I think if factories were to work 12-hour shifts, 3 days a week, a day shift, a night shift, that would put more people to work and then have Sunday as a voluntary day to come in and work overtime.
Yeah. You think that 12-hour shift might be a bit much, Professor Beck?
Well, I don't want to disagree with a long haul truck driver over what he thinks would be good for his employment, but I do think that the very long days that they drive are putting their lives in peril and putting the lives of other people around them in peril.
Yeah, and I don't think Scott was just suggesting factories could do this. He doesn't think he has any way to do this, right, Scott? You don't think you can work a shorter work week as a long-haul
driver? Yeah, we work 70-hour. We work 11 hours on, 10 hours down, which is pretty good. A lot of drivers think it's too much. A lot of drivers think it's not enough. I think it's not enough. I think we should be able to work at least 11-hour runs per day. They stop us at 70 hours. A week.
Yeah. Why do you say it couldn't work for you, Scott? Why couldn't you just be working 4 days?
A three-day work week wouldn't work for a truck driver. I mean, we'd have to swap out drivers, and, I mean, it would just get so complicated trying to get trucks to the locations to pick people up, and, you know, it would, I mean, if you're a team driver, you could possibly do it, but I'm work by myself, and for me, I think we should have at least 11 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get product moved. Without moving product, you can't buy. If you can't buy, you can't supply.
Yeah. Professor Beck, any thought to whether, truck drivers could have a 3 or 4 day work week?
Well, as I say, there are specific things that go with specific specific professions. And I don't want to make myself or pretend to be an expert on the needs of truck drivers.
Right.
Generally speaking, the longer the workday, the more industrial accidents there are. And industrial accidents on long-haul driving, we're talking about people's lives.
Yeah. Let's go to Jeremy in Wrightstown?
Wrightstown.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on, first of all. I just want to make the point, I'm actually headed to work right now. I don't have a lot of time. Part of that is due to the fact that where I work, it's a customer service-related job, and we've got very great benefits. We've been working mandatory overtime at our location as a whole for our workforce for over 3 years now. And in my opinion, I think it's great, you know, shortening the work week. I think it would save companies money that way. But I think the reason we're doing that is really because it's more economically feasible for the company to pay us time and a half to work overtime than it is for them to hire more employees. So because of paying benefits to those employees would actually outweigh the cost of the time and a half.
Nice.
So I think the assertion that creating a shorter work week would create more jobs, I think that would be something that corporations would fight based on the fact that they don't want to pay employee benefits.
Mm, is that the stumbling block, Professor Beck?
Well, that is a stumbling block. First of all, the major employee benefit that is not proportional to how much you're earning is, in fact, health care. And the problem of health care is a separate problem which needs to be solved independent of what we do about the work week. But if we do get universal health care so that it's not dependent only on the employer's payments, a lot of that question of benefits would disappear. Mm-hmm. The other side of that, of course, is that working people too long increases the cost of health care.
Right.
Again, for the same reason what I said before. Now, it is true that some people say, I would rather work longer and make more money. And what I say is that what they're not saying, and what is implicit in that, and they don't know it, is they're saying, I would rather work more hours to get more money, and I'm glad to pay the added taxes to maintain the lives of people who don't have any work at all. And the idea is that you've got to do that. We are committed to not letting people starve to death or, which is much more common, die of hypothermia or homelessness or medical problems or lack of medication, all of which go with other people not having jobs. It's to the benefit of everybody that we should balance the demand and the supply of labor. We're not doing it now. We have enormous numbers of involuntarily unemployed people. Jobless people whom we do not call unemployed.
Let's take Bonnie in Stoughton now. Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I work a 10-hour day. I just started doing 10-hour days a few months ago, and I really like it. But what I wanted to say is lunch is scheduled in there, so you really have a 10-and-a-half-hour day. And then I have to commute both ways, and so my 10-and-a-half-hour day easily turns into closer to 12.
Yeah.
And so by the time you do four of those in a row, you're ready to have your 3 days off. And if the 3-day off is always Friday and everybody had Friday off, all the things I can do on Friday now, like all my errands, run to the doctor and whatnot, maybe those offices would be closed. And so what would you do with that extra day if you can't get to those things that aren't open?
Yeah, what about that, Professor Beck?
Well, I'll say that on the pattern of the Wages and Hours Act, it doesn't say which days you have to work.
Mm-hmm.
It says you have to work no more than 40 hours a week before you start being paid time and a half. And when you have employers like the previous case where they have already factored in the overtime pay, and they're factoring in the overtime pay in a peculiar way. That is to say, they don't talk about how much they're paying per hour for regular work. They talk about how much they're paying per week to their workers, which means that they have managed to get past the 40-hour limit.
Let me add this one email from Nikki in La Crosse as we're running out of time. I'm so glad to hear this discussion. It sounds a lot like the Take Back Your Time movement and the overworked American. I think the benefits of this stretch far more than have been discussed. Less days work would decrease stress and increase leisure and family time that no one has. Well, she missed you saying that. That's one of the main reasons, one of the big reasons you support this, right, Professor?
Absolutely. Very, very important. And it's very important. It's very important to the lives of the children. And I'm sure it's very important to the lives of the parents as well.
Yeah. What do you think in our final minute, Professor Beck? Do you think you're going to see the day where more and more and more, maybe all businesses are under some sort of 3 or 4 day work week?
Well, we didn't get the 40-hour week until we had a depression, and I'm afraid we are not going to get back the labor rights that we had under the New Deal until we have another depression, and it looks like that's about to happen.
Well, that's a sad note to leave it on, but thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your research time in London.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being with you.
Yeah, we'll talk again, I'm sure. Anatole Beck, professor of mathematics at UW-Madison, currently on research leave at the London School of Economics. He'll be back to teach in the fall, talking with us about why he is a proponent of a 4-day work week, even a 3-day work week. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Karen Prager and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in with your experiences. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.